and of a recognition that everything that we do as Christians has got to come from a place of resting in God, in His goodness, in His love, in His sovereignty, in His providence, in who He is and what He has said, and that out of that place of rest comes our effectiveness to be able to walk this life and to be able to stand in the face of the enemy. I'm going to make mention of this. This is a book by Watchman Nee called Sit, Walk, Stand. It's talking about Ephesians, three places where it talks about we have been seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above all the powers, principalities, and dominions. How many of you feel like you're seated in heavenly places in Christ? You feel like it? How many of it, it's the way you think continually? You know, sometimes these concepts seem very ethereal and abstract. But yet the reality is God says, past tense, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. And Watchman Nee identifies in this little book how in the spiritual it's so different. See, in the natural, I can't sit and walk and stand at the same time. But in the spiritual, the only way that we can walk in love, walk in the light, walk in righteousness, walk in our true identity, or stand and defeat the enemy in every single area is from a seated position of resting in what God has already done for us in Christ and upon the cross. It's the only way we're going to live this life and walk by faith and have victory after victory and take the ground. You know, my heart at the beginning of every year, I meditate on Joshua 1. Because I feel like it's a transitional time where we're 3 days past 2015 and we're 3 days into 2016, that it's a new year. And the Lord said to Joshua, every place that you put your foot, I'm going to give you. Now he said that, but then he gave definition of the territory all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to the Jordan River, and he defined the boundaries of that word. But within that context, every place you put your foot within that context, I'm going to give it to you. But you've got to be strong, and you've got to be courageous. And how you're going to do that is you're going to meditate upon my law day and night. And if you do, you're going to be prosperous and successful, and you're going to take ground. I mean, I feel like the Lord's just calling me in certain areas to take back ground that I've given up. How many of you feel like at times I've taken ground, but that I've given it up? I've been walking in a particular truth, and I'm no longer walking in that. I want to take that ground again, and I want to take new ground as well. Of what has been promised to me in Christ, I get it and I gain it because it's my inheritance, but it is also the advancement of His kingdom. You see, all the ites they had to conquer, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, all the ites are attributes of the flesh. The advancement of the kingdom and the salvation of our soul are the same thing. But we have to overcome things in our flesh, things in our thinking that are hindering us from experiencing the life and the inheritance God has promised for us in Jesus. And I want to talk a little bit about the bizarre way, or bizarre to the natural mind, of how we go about doing this. What's the process? And the last time I spoke, I talked about faith brings the future into the present. So this is part two. Faith co-creates and imagineers the future with God. Now, it's within the definition of Him saying, this is your inheritance of the promised land. Here are the promises that I've given you. But when it says meditate, it means to imagine and to muse. It's a combination of imagining based upon God saying, I've given you this land, to a people that are slaves. They're dreaming of gardens, of vineyards, of fields, of their own homes, of the work of their hands, of experiencing the benefit of it instead of others experiencing the benefit of everything they're working for. And they begin to imagine what the promises of God might look like. And to muse is to think deeply on that until there's creative inspiration that starts to flow. And when it does, faith begins to arise. But it's all based on what God has said. And he relates to us from the future to the present, and we're to live from the future to the present. It's like, I have given you possession of the land, begin to possess. Engage your enemy in battle. It's already finished because God judicially made the decision, I have given you this land. It didn't look like it. And in the natural mind, as they went into the land, the 10 spies said, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. This is a land filled with giants, people that know how to fight. And it's like, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, is their perception. But yet Joshua and Caleb are focused on the promise and say, we're more than able to do this. And God has said, I've given you possession, begin to possess. Remember in reference to Abraham, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. He calls things into existence that are not existing. But he relates to Abraham already as a father of many nations before he has a single child. And he's saying, I have made you. I'm seeing that as an already done deal. And yet he's 100 years old before he has Isaac. So faith winds up conceiving and birthing God's future promises. I wish I had time to go through where you can either birth them or you can abort them. Like the generation that perished in the wilderness because they didn't believe God and didn't experience what he promised. I want to say that you can multiply from or subtract what God has promised, experience more than he promised, or diminish what he's promised. And at some point, I'll go through that. And you can delay it and you can accelerate it. And there's references to delaying and accelerating what God has said. So in the Lord's Prayer, when he's teaching us, this is how you should pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And then when it says, give us this day our daily bread, it actually means give us tomorrow's bread today. What you have promised, what you have provided for tomorrow, give us that today. And the only place that happened was on the sixth day. They had manna for the seventh day. And what God, you have spoken for your promises that are destined for tomorrow. We are to like Isaac, Hebrews chapter 11. Isaac, he reached into the future and he blessed his two sons. He saw what God had for them and he spoke it into existence as he put his hands on them and began to bless them. He spoke their future into existence because he reached into the future by faith and he spoke it. And we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And it seems so bizarre and contrary to our natural thinking, but we're to ask for tomorrow's bread today. Give me what you have spoken about for tomorrow of your promises. Give me that today. You see, in living this life, we're called to live from heaven towards earth because we're seated in heavenly places. We're called to live from the future towards the present because you're already there in the future, even though you're here and now. But it seems abstract and ethereal, but yet the Word of God clearly says these bizarre statements that we are called to believe and live out of that reality, and we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. We are called to fight from the place of victory, not towards victory. Because the enemy has already been defeated. You have been seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities. You are not of this world. Jesus continued to say, I am not of this world. John 3:3 says, you have not only been born again, it literally means you've been born from above. Galatians says Jerusalem is the mother of us all. You have been born from another world and you are spiritual beings having a very temporary human experience. This is short term. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. though outwardly we're perishing, through all the circumstance and adversity that's going on, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, and our light and momentary afflictions that are going on are working in us an eternal weight of glory that outweighs them all. Therefore, we don't look at what's seen. We look at what's unseen. Because what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. And we're to be fixing our eyes on heaven and the eternal. Colossians 3:1-3, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You know, the world says they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. But the reality is that unless we're heavenly minded, we're of no earthly good. Only those that are heavenly minded have any earthly good, because they're the ones that can by faith lay hold of the promises in heaven, the things of heaven, and by faith manifest them here on earth by this walk. And this is how we're called to live and how we're called to walk. But it says our natural mind opposes those truths. It's actually an enmity against it. You're warring and continually going, looking at the natural circumstance like the two spies did. And your life might be being governed at times by those things rather than the truths of what God has said. I have given you possession. All things are yours in Christ already. You've been seated in heavenly places in Him. And the sitting, the walking, the standing, it comes out of a place of what He has already done for you. And you've got to rest that you're never going to experience what it is until we first enter into the rest of what He has accomplished for us, that our inheritance is secure because of the work of Christ on the cross, that every promise is assured. And in 2 Corinthians 1:21, it first of all says all the promises of God, they're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But then it says the Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit. It's a down payment guaranteeing all that is yet to come. And 2 Corinthians 5:5 says the same thing. There it's in reference to the new body that we have in Christ. You have a new body already that's waiting for you. And even though this one may be decaying and getting old and fading away, when we believe that grace quickens our body now. You see, all the grace that you have to live the life that you live now as a Christian comes as a result when you believe the promises of God. It gives you hope and grace now. But that hope and grace comes from the future, but only as we believe what God has said that He has done for us in Christ, as we believe the promises, as we believe the inheritance that's ours in Him. It says we have the Holy Spirit as a deposit. We don't get the full deal, but that deposit is called the Spirit of Grace, and it gives you what you need to live now. You cannot live this Christian life in a victorious way now unless you believe the promises of God that are guaranteed by the work that He has done for us in Jesus. And this is the life that we are called to live. You've heard this before, but years ago the Lord said, Bruce, the more you work, the more I'll rest. The more you rest, the more I will work. When I rest in the promises of God, I'm actually praising Him by believing Him, because trust is one of the purest forms of worship. But when I rest in what God has promised, the Holy Spirit, that's the deposit that's given to me, He begins to rest on me. I prepare myself to be a resting place for Him. And as his presence comes and rests upon me, now I also have an increase of faith because his presence will always produce faith in us. And I start to then be able to lay hold of what he has promised until it's manifest in the natural. In quantum physics, they can now look under a microscope and they have this recorded, and you can look it up on YouTube in different places, where when you're looking at it, I will say if they separate the electrons in an atom and they put one halfway around the world, if you look at it and you see it going diagonally and rotating clockwise, the other one halfway around the world will be going diagonally and going counterclockwise. If you imagine and think, okay, now it's going to go horizontal, it goes horizontal, and it's going to be going counterclockwise, simultaneously, apart from time and space, the other one halfway around the world goes horizontal and rotates the opposite direction. Your expectation or your imagination influences what takes place. And the same dynamic happens in between what's called waves and particles. The particle is the physical. But as you see it going into wave, it turns into a wave. And as you see it and imagine it, the wave going into a particle, it goes back into the material. It's between the seen and the unseen. And your perception and your imagination is influencing the outcome of what takes place of it going between wave and particle. That's the kind of influence you have over it. In the same way, this is how faith works. That we participate in bringing about our inheritance that God has promised. It says in Romans 4, it's done entirely by faith in order that we can see it's a gift of God's grace. Grace on God's part, entirely on faith on our part, that we bring what's seemingly a wave in the unseen, in the spiritual, until it's manifest as material. Whether it's for your faith of praying for unsaved loved ones, whether it's for healing, whether it's for finances, whether it's for your destiny and identity and what you're created for, you have an inheritance that's there in Christ. There are boundaries, as just as God had boundaries for the promised land, but then your imagination starts to participate based upon what God has promised. And you start to muse over the potential and the possibilities. And as you start to, what starts happening is there's something going on in the spiritual that you're aligning yourself to a truth of, I have given you possession. I have made you a father of many nations. You are my child. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And you are to lay hold of the future and bring it into the present. And you start to imagine it and muse over it. What starts happening is it's created in the spiritual together with God. And then by faith, you're reaching into that place until you see it manifest here and now. And it's learning how to do this, to walk by faith and not by sight. By looking at the unseen realm all the time, not denying the natural realities that are going on day by day, but what trumps it is what God has said of who we are in him because of what Christ has done and what has been promised to us. I don't have the time to go into so many of these other passages because I want to transition here shortly. But I want to say, your way forward, again, the only way Joshua was going to be prosperous and successful was through meditating on the law day and night. Imagining and musing over what God has promised. I want to encourage you, we have a 3-week fast, first 3 weeks of January, last 3 weeks of August, as two transitional stages. And I'm fasting anything that is preventing me from resting. There might be days I'm going to go without eating. I'm not going 21 days of no eating. But I feel as though I'm to fast from everything that prevents me from resting. It says, make every effort to enter into the rest. And it is an effort, but what it's an effort against is our soul, our natural mind, that's in opposition to the truth of who God is and what he has said. There's a battle going on. On the one hand, the Word of God says, cease striving. And then it says, strive to enter the rest. Well, which one is it? The cease striving is don't live your life out of the soul by looking at the natural things around you, because if you do, your emotions are going to experience the fruit of the flesh. But if you put your faith in the unseen realities of God saying, I have made you a father of many nations or a mother, and you might be 100 years old. Anybody here 100 yet? No? Okay. Mark is. You look really good, buddy. In great shape for 100. Well done. You guys planning on a baby at 100? Talk to Tracy. Talk to Tracy. Okay. But I want to encourage you. It's called Lectio Divina. It means read until he speaks. You meditate on the law day and night. But when you meditate on it, when the Spirit begins to quicken a promise or speak to you about God's way to attain the promise, what you need to be able to do is stay there. What scriptures are you going to camp out on and meditate on this year until those words become a reality on the inside of you and faith rises up to now lay hold of them? So I want you to read until he speaks, but don't keep reading. Stay there and keep going back there and watch what God does. To do this, I want to say Philippians 3 talks about, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining forward, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Jesus has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to say in 2015, there's things you're going to have to let go of in order to lay hold of what he has for you in 2016. And you can't lay hold of something that he has for you until you let go of something else, because you can't hold both simultaneously. So what are you going to let go of in order to lay hold of? The release, the keys are in your heart. Like Joseph when he was in prison and he says to the cupbearer, mention me before Pharaoh because I was sold unjustly as a slave and I've done nothing to deserve being put into this place. And he's forgotten for 2 years. But I don't have time to go into the story, but I will say, when he let go of the need for his reputation to be cleared of being called a rapist, of the injustice of being sold as a slave, when he needed vindication, he wasn't ready to be released and represent God, because if that would have influenced his judgments and everybody that came, it would have affected his perception, and he's not ready. But when he was able to forgive and he let go, he was now able to come into the place that God had for him. Nelson Mandela talks about the same thing, 27 years of imprisonment, and he says, if I don't leave the bitterness behind me, that I'll still be in prison when I'm out of here. And he knew he had to let go of all the bitterness of 27 robbed years, of the injustice through apartheid and racism. And when he let go of it, he came into his destiny. I don't know if you've read his story, but he was an awesome man of faith, but very careful in expressing it. But in certain contexts, when you hear him preach, it was powerful, and you knew the reality of what he believed, of what he believed in Jesus. You're waiting sometimes for God to bring about your destiny and what he has promised. But I want to say your release, it's always based upon what you're letting go of for him to release you into what he has planned for you. And I want everybody to transition and experience more this year. Take ground back that you've lost and take new ground as well. Amen? Amen. I'm going to have communion here. You want to share for about 5 minutes, or we want to hold on to it? Well, I will say, last week listening to Jesse, I felt like he's carrying something that he's beginning to creatively imagine a future that he's partnering together with God and stepping into, and there's blessings being released as he's walking in his identity. And my heart is, at some point, we need to hear what he's carrying, because he's entered into a transition in a significant way. And I can tell you stories of financially how God has now provided for me. I may not see it for 10 or 15 years, but there's a significant amount of money now set aside for me. I could tell you how my children have come to the Lord by standing on the promises of God. I could tell you many different stories, but my heart is that this year you write stories based upon you standing on what God has promised and bringing it into existence, beginning to imagine based upon what he has spoken, that you start meditating on it until your imagination starts conceiving it, until you start musing over it, and his presence starts coming, and now there's the faith to now lay hold of it for yourself or for the next generation or for future generations. Some of it, you're not going to see all of it. Some of it, you're preparing the way for another generation or your children or children's children. But it's all by believing what God has said, no matter what it looks like. Therefore, we don't lose heart through light and momentary afflictions that are for but a moment. They're actually working an eternal weight of glory in us. While we look, they're only working that eternal weight of glory. While we look not what is seen, but what is unseen, for what is seen is temporal or temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And we have to fix the eyes of our heart on those things to be able to see them materialize here. But I tell you, even if you don't, when you start believing them, the Holy Spirit is given as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come, and you have the grace to live now, and you're not overcome. You experience sorrow and grief and loss, like Jason is, like Jenny and Donald, because they just had a miscarriage, and they're over in Bosnia. But I'm watching my daughter grieve in a healthy way and transition back into a place of rest and of faith. And it's awesome to see the reality of her faith. My heart is that you do grieve, that you do go through regrets, but you don't stay there. You let go in order to lay hold of. And you cannot lay hold of what God has prepared or planned for you apart from a process of, first of all, letting go. And it's not about you waiting for God to fulfill his promise. It's about him waiting for you to let go, to lay hold. So I want to ask you, what are you going to let go of? I'm saying, God, what do I need to let go of in order to lay hold of what you have for me? So Holy Spirit, as we take communion, and over this next season, if we haven't heard already, we'd go, Lord, what do I have to let go of in order to lay hold of what's in my heart that you've given me as a hope for the future? Either a prophetic word, or just, I want to say, a godly desire. I take all my godly desires equally as any prophetic word as I have, that I have. If it's a godly desire, that's a prophecy to me. And I want you to realize your godly desires are God-ordained, God-birthed by you walking with him. And you need to walk in faith, and you need to stand against the enemy and do battle. But it's got to come from a place of rest, of knowing it's already been achieved in the Spirit, and I am resting in confident faith, waiting but partnering with God till I see it realized in this natural realm. The Holy Spirit, even this communion, this is your body and your blood that we take of by faith. They're simple elements, and yet there's life in it. There's healing in it. And we want you to just come and rest on us as we participate by faith right now. And as we do, I ask there'd be a revelation what we need to let go of and what we need to lay hold of. Because we want to see our kingdom advanced, but we want to live in more rest than we've ever, ever experienced before. and to live this entire life out of a place of resting in your love, your goodness, and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. So either come and take the cup, go back to your seats, pray with a few people, or come up here and just pray with people, but participate in this and say, God, who should I pray for, or who can pray for me? But bless you. And Jesus, I ask for an awesome 2016. It's been the favor of the year of the Lord's favor for over 2,000 years now. And how much of that favor do you want to walk in? And you're growing in it, and it's increased. Jesus grew in stature and favor. You're growing in it. As you occupy the favor of what he has already given you, he gives you more favor. But it's as you occupy that favor, what he has promised for us in him. So Jesus, come and let our faith just grow by your presence resting on us as we rest in what you've said and what you've done. Amen. Table to the left, table to the right. I know it's